I've been studying the book of Daniel for a while, and now I'm going to get out of the book of Daniel. I'm going to get out of the fiery furnace, and I want to talk about relationships. God designed us for relationship. In fact, when God created everything, everything was good, but when he created man, one of the first things he said was, "It is not good for man to be alone." Now, a lot of people have interpreted that over the years as, okay, well, God wants me to get married, or I got to find somebody, you know, because God doesn't want me to do life alone. What that means is we are built and wired for connections. We are first built and wired for connections with God himself. God wanted community with us. And in fact, if you read the Genesis account, God walked in the garden with Adam and with Eve. And they were there together, and they communed together, and they all had each other until man went and messed it up. And we turned our back on God because we thought we knew better. And so I'm not saying, okay, you got to have a partner. Or as the prophet Elvis Presley said, if you can't find a partner, grab a wooden chair. You know, just you got to have somebody. We're built for relationships. It doesn't mean a spouse or anything like that, but it's a deeper connection that we have to first commune with God, and that's our first point, to love God with everything that's in it, with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and so we love God, and that's that communion with God. But then the second greatest commandment that Jesus said, and it was like it, he said that we are to love others as we love ourselves, because he knew how important relationships were for us. Think about the life that we have to live every single day as we get ready for work and go out into the culture. It is hard. It's oppressive. It's depressing. It's always pulling at us. It's taking our strength. It's sapping our energy. There's a saying, only the strong survive. And it's almost like you have to go out and fight dog-eat-dog world. And we try to look, how are we going to be strong? And so what we try to do is build up our finances, and we're going to be strong financially with our money and everything, but we find out that the economy swiftly changed back and forth. And we think, maybe it's our health. If I'm healthy, then I'm going to be strong, and I'm going to be able to make it on my own. And if you walk into like a Barnes & Noble or anywhere, the self-help section is just thousands and thousands of books, because you could do it on your own. And I'm here to tell you, you can't. It's not money. It's not your health. We're not strong until we build strong relationships. That has got to be our foundation. The first foundation is God himself. That's the first relationship you got to take care of, because if that relationship is not right, then none of the rest of it is going to be right. Why are relationships so vital? Why are they so vital? And it's not just that it's not good for man to be alone, but we are wired for connections. There is a hole in our lives that can only be filled with God himself. And once God fills that, it's supposed to spill out unto our brothers and to our sisters. We are created for connections. And without human connections, we feel empty. There's many, many studies about the babies in Russia where the nurses were told not to touch the babies, not to interact with the babies, and we found out that the babies just died without any human interaction, without any kind of touch, without anything that nurtured that child. That's why solitary confinement is one of the worst things that you could possibly do, because you take a person and separate them from everything else, and they're on their own. And they can literally go crazy. We have a longing in our lives to be loved, to be wanted, to be needed, to be in a relationship. I think about the brands that we wear. I kidded around, you know, last Sunday and picked on Roger and Kathy because they're big Georgia fans. But I'm a big Atlanta United fan, and I think many of you have mentioned to me, I either wear a Jonesboro Cardinal or an Atlanta United every single time. And so I thought about, why do I do that? Why do I do that? And I think it's because it makes me part of a larger family. You know, when Tony and I go to the Atlanta United games and we hang out with all the people that are getting ready to go into the games and stuff, and everybody's cheering and everybody's yelling and we're all hyped, and it's like we're all family. We should be doing that in the church. We should come together in the church. And this is a shameless plug, but we're selling our brand now. You can order through Denise and get. I'm just saying, but we should do that as one another. As we come together, we're family, and we should be celebrating this God that we serve. And it's because we want to belong to something. We want to be a part of something. So we're created for connections. Also, relationships balance our lives. They give balance to our lives. By ourselves, our lives are unbalanced, and they can easily tilt towards extremes. In other words, if I'm on my own and I begin to see things from just my perspective, I could totally magnify it out of control. She doesn't like me. She's always picking on me, blah, blah, blah. You know, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger because there is no perspective except mine. And it gets warped and it gets magnified. That's why in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, the writer says that two are better than one. Because if one falls down, the other's able to pick them up. All the way throughout the scriptures, we see that we need each other. Even Jesus surrounded himself with 12 brothers that he could do life together with. In the Bible, in the New Testament, there are 58 times it says something about one another's. 58 times, there are 58 one another's. Serve one another, love one another, pray for one another, care for one another, support one another, encourage one another, greet one another. Jesus said the second greatest commandment is to love others. And if that's our main mission, to be in the church or to be in fellowship with him and with others, then we need to be about that business. As we look around and we see empty chairs, or we wonder, hey, where's this person or where's this person? That is a call on our heart from the Holy Spirit that maybe you need to pick up the phone and contact that person and say, you know what? I missed you today. I was thinking about you today. I prayed for you today. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, and this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, love God with everything that's in you. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us, to the church, to the fellowship. So we want, we're created for these connections. Also, we are to give our lives balance, and the relationships balance our lives, but also relationships give us strength. They give us strength, emotional strength. When I'm going through a hard time and I'm by myself, I could be really depressed. And what do we do for that? We medicate ourselves. We try to sleep it off, or we try to numb ourselves to that. But if we're in a good relationship and we're going through a hard time, we have people that will walk that walk with us, that will pray with us, that will pray for us. They give us emotional strength. They give us spiritual strength. I'm struggling with this issue in my life, and they come into our lives and they pour themselves into our lives and say, hey, I am here for you. I am praying for you. We can get through this together. And also physical strength. We're not alone. Well, no one's helping. I got to do this on my own. No, there are people willing to work side by side, shoulder to shoulder with you. And so relationships are so vital for us. We can handle more in life when we have others to walk that walk with us. Life is difficult. And we all need strength every day. And just as our physical bodies are strengthened by the connection of its parts, as Christians, we need the support that we get from one another. What's going to make me a better pastor is if I know you guys are praying for me and praying with me to be the pastor that God called me to be. Paul writes in Romans, so we, though many, are one in body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're different, and we bring our different gifts together, but we need each other. We need each other. The world has never been as connected as it has in our time with technology. If something happens in France, we know instantly what's going on. But that technology has also separated us more than ever before, because we could sit behind a computer, not interact with anybody, and be connected with everybody, and yet die alone and be alone. And more people feel disconnected now more so than ever before. Maybe it's because of our social values. Today in our culture, our social values, they value individualism over community. In other words, it's about me, what makes me happy. What you can do whatever, believe whatever you want to believe, but don't tell me what to believe because I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Individualism is the word of the day. Maybe mobility. Sandra and I talk about church growth and dynamics sometimes, and one of the things when we were growing up, churches were like in the neighborhood, and everybody just kind of went to the church that was closest to their house. Now people are driving. We have people in our church here that drive from Fayetteville, used to drive from Peachtree City all the way up in East Point. They're coming from all over the place, so you're having to travel. And so there's a mobility issue. Well, it's kind of hard to get together, so guess what? We don't. Maybe it's our pace of life. Man, we run at this pace. Everything, bow, 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 bow. When I first got married, I was young, and I could run at that pace. I remember Margie and I would, I would drag Margie along, actually. I was on like 5 different softball teams. There were games where I was literally changing from one jersey in the car while she was driving to get to the next game. I can't do that anymore. I can't even put a jersey on. You know, this. I'm getting old like Roger, you know, and it's like I can't hardly move. Ephesians, I want to read this version from the Message. Listen how Ephesians puts it. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven and in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule. In other words, everything. We live now where science is saying, it used to be that the universe is eternal. It's just going to go on forever. We know that it's not. Science is showing that not only is it expanding, it's going to contract. Eventually, it's going to be gone. But we know that whatever, it doesn't matter because God's in control and he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth and we're going to be part of that. So I don't care what science says. He is in charge of it all and has the final word on everything. At the center of all of this, Christ rules the church. What is the church? Is it the building? No. Remember that? Here's the church. Here's the steeple open door. There ain't no people. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. This is the church, y'all. It's us. It's the people. It's us in relationship. Christ rules the church. Your church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. The world doesn't define who we are. The church defines who the world is. The Bible gives us at least 4 different metaphors, probably more, but I wanted to focus on these 4 metaphors about relationships because why does it matter if we're in relationships or not? Relationships are so important, and this is why I want to tell you. The first picture that I want you to see is we are bricks in building God's kingdom, God's church. We are stones that are placed, and we are living stones as part of God's temple. 1 Corinthians, Paul says this, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? We are the temple of God. He dwells in us, and so we are building his living church." Ephesians 2 says this, "In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into dwelling place for God by the Spirit." Tony, leave that up there for a second. Look at this. Being joined together, you are being built together. The word together means you're not on your own. We are together. Does this make any sense at all? Okay, we need to be together. We need to be together. I thought about this. We have been building in the back, getting ready to get the children's rooms, and Steve kind of designed on a napkin. We've taken the napkin, and we're trying to put those pieces together, and we're building, okay? Here's what I learned about building, besides the fact that none of y'all want me to touch power tools, all right? Here's what I've learned about building in the back, okay? First off, it takes many, many different parts. When I order something that we have to have 16-foot boards, we have to have 10-foot boards, we have to have some 8-foot boards, we have to have a saw to be able to cut the boards, we have to have the nail gun to make sure that the boards get put up, we have to have a level to make sure that the wood gets put up correctly and everything's going to be straight. There are many different parts. Here's the second thing, if you want to know about building and what I've learned. Number two, all parts have to fit together. All right? If Dave, for example, says, Paul, I need a board at 101.5 inches, and I cut it at 100.5 inches, it's going to be too short, and it's not going to fit. If I cut it a little too long, it's not going to fit. I don't do that, but Rose does. She will cut it like an inch short every time. So we don't let Rose use power tools. But all of the parts have to fit together, right? So another thing that I've learned, a part is basically useless until you use it. In other words, while we were waiting on the county to give us the permission to go and all the stuff, we had piles of wood back there. And what we would do sometimes just to feel useful, we'd straighten up the wood here. Then we come back over and say, like, okay, let's straighten up the wood here. But it was useless. We had the material, we had the stuff, but it wasn't being used, and so it was totally useless. And so what does that mean? The fourth point I was thinking about building is that it could be part, it could be in the building, but not be part of the building. In other words, we could have a bunch of wood in the building, but until we put the pieces together and the pieces are joined together, it's not part of the building. It's just sitting in the building. Well, guess what? That's the same thing for us in church. We could come to church and we could just sit here and we could be in church, but not be part of the church. We could sit here in our own selves and in our own loneliness, and if we're not being used by God, if we're not connecting with others, we're not being joined and formed together. And so basically, we're in the church, but we're not part of the church. And that is not how we are designed to be God's holy temple. We have to be in relationship with each other. So we're part of God's temple. Another metaphor that Jesus gives us is we are part, or Paul says this all over the place, we are part of Christ's body. We are the body of Christ. Ephesians 1 says this, and he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, Christ is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. And if we're not doing our job, the message is not getting out there. In the message, it says, that same verse, it says, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. We're all connected. In Romans, Paul writes this, for as one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. In other words, we all have different gifts. We're all different. If we're the body, not all of us are the mouth. Okay, God gave me a big mouth. And so I can be the mouth. Sandra can be the mouth. Other people can be the mouth. Your Sunday school teachers, the small group leaders can be the mouth. You don't have to be the mouth. There's a difference between prominence and integral. For example, I have a big nose. And I know that when I walk into a room, my nose gets there about two seconds before I do. Because it's prominent. They say that our nose continues to grow. Even as we get older, our nose and ears continue to grow. Okay? It's like, all right, I'm not really looking forward to that, but okay. It's prominent on me, but guess what? It is not really necessary. If I were, I could go and get my nose shaved down, trimmed off. I could actually lose my nose, and I could still function as a person. Now my spleen, or my liver, or my kidney, or any kind of vital organ, you can't really see. It's not prominent at all, but it is very integral for my life. If I were to puncture those or lose those or something, then I could die. I'm not going to die if I lose my nose, which is prominent, but the inside, the part that's working, all of it works together to make me whole. In our church, guys, we need people that will come alongside and be better prayers, because you love to pray. And so we need people that'll pray. We need people that'll serve. We need people that just exude out of their bodies a sense of, you know, every time you see them, it's like, oh man, there's that person. I can't wait to give them a big old hug today. And greeters just kind of pours out of them. They've got a spirit of hospitality. Not everybody's like that. I know some people that if I were to say, hey man, give me a big hug, they'd look at you like, uh-uh. And that's okay. Because we all work together, we are all integral together, and if we don't integrate together, then we are missing vital parts of our body, the church, Christ. And so that's why relationships are important, because we're building God's temple, but we are also Christ's body. And if you're not here, we're missing something important. We belong to each other, and all of us needs each other. The third picture I think the Bible tells us is we are fruit connected to the vine. When I was growing up in over on Catherine Street in Forest Park, we had muscadines in the backyard. And man, every year, man, those big old purple muscadines would come in there. And at first, you know, when you're a kid, you get them and you squeeze them and it kind of looks like snot popping out of it, you know, that whole little thing. But man, as you grow up, it's like, oh, that's those muscadines. I miss those muscadines. So, you know, maybe we ought to get some muscadines or scumpernogs, Margie, put them in the backyard somewhere. But anyway, I learned that it's not the fruit that is the life. The life is from the vine. In other words, if something happens to the vine, there's not going to be any fruit. We are connected to God Himself. God is the vine, we are the branches, and through us, fruit is being born. Patience, peace, love, joy, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't you want that? If you're not connected to the vine, you're not going to get that. If you're by yourself, if you're alone, if you're not connected to the family of God, to the temple of God, to Christ's body, to God Himself, remember, love God with everything that's in you, heart, soul, mind, and strength. The first commandment, the greatest commandment. If that's not right, then you're not going to get peace. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to have these relationships. So you get that right, and then all of a sudden we can begin to be part of the vine. And I'm looking at some of y'all, y'all are a bunch of fruit on the vine. But I mean that in a good way. We're connected to Him first, but then we're hanging in bunches together. And there's a lot you can do with the fruit on the vine. But we have to be connected to Him. John, again, Jesus says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, he can do nothing. In fact, he says that you're no good, you just might as well be thrown into the fire. Going back one verse, verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Our relationship with God has got to come first, but then it's got to spill out into others. You know, if you plant a vine of grapes, a vine of muscadines, if you plant a row of squash, I don't know, whatever you want to plant, and only one comes up, you feel kind of disheartened about it. I got a vine with one muscadine on it. What are you going to do with that? We don't want to be that vine where there's only just one muscadine. We want filled with fruit. That's why relationships are so important. I hope you can hear my passion, because you're going to be hearing about relationships over the next couple days. And weeks. I'm not talking about, okay, you got to find somebody to do life with and be married. Because maybe that's not God's plan for you, but God wants you in healthy relationships. I think the fourth picture, besides being fruit, being Christ's body, and being the temple of God, that we are all family. God has given us a new name. He's put a new robe on us. He's given us a new identity. I love the story in Isaiah that the three sons that he had with his wife were not my people, but then later he became, named him, yes, you are my people. You are not loved. Now you are loved. That's where we were. This is where we are now in Christ. And because Christ has given us a new family, we have a beautiful extended family. You know, we got the phone call yesterday, Tracy, when I talked to you on the phone, that your sister had passed away. That's your blood family. But you know what? We're your family, and we're hurting too. And we're grieving with you, and we are praying for you because this is your family too. It's not your blood family, it is the blood family, the blood of Jesus Christ that makes us all together, all family. So when you say, I don't feel like coming, guess what? It's like my brother not coming. It's not my sister not coming. It's like my family not coming. And not just to build up numbers in the church. I could care less about that. You can't do life alone. When you do life alone, everything gets distorted and magnified and depressing. Sandra, it doesn't surprise me that they've developed a pill that would take away loneliness. I think what it'll do, it just numbs us to the desire to want to be connected. They say, you know, people checking their cell phones all the time, that it does something to the endorphins in your brain, so that's why we want to know, did somebody like us? Did somebody, you know, like my picture or whatever, or gave me a thumbs down? What do I do to get them to like me? And we're constantly checking, and we're constantly checking because we want to feel that feeling. And so, yeah, science is probably doing that. But it doesn't take care of the root of the problem. You get a headache, take some aspirin. The headache goes away, but we don't get to the root of why you're getting a headache. Loneliness can't be cured with a pill. True loneliness is cured by the love of God and then surrounding yourself with the love of others. That will cure loneliness. Paul says in Romans, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are all children of God. God made us for himself. And we are here to glorify God, and that's that first relationship. We get it right, and then we can begin to love others. 1 Peter says this, love your brothers and sisters in God's family. As we get ready to do communion, the way we do it, you can come down the center aisle, take part. You can do it here. You can take it back to your seat. We don't all do it together. This is between you and God. But I want to invite you to, if you want, you can come by the altar first, or you can come by the altar afterwards. I want you to make sure that you're in a good relationship with God. There was a book out there, Quit Asking Jesus Into Your Heart. Because there are some people that feel like maybe it didn't take the first time. Let me tell you, if we're falling away from God, it's usually us. And it's usually our perspective, and we start to think about me, and so God can't love me, and maybe God didn't love me. It's us. And I want you to shake free of that. Because he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. And that's what we celebrate today in remembrance of him. That his body and his blood was given for us so that we could be part of his family. And if you've given yourself to God, you are part of his family. But now you've got to give yourself to others. You've got to open yourself up to say, you know what, this is my family. And so I invite you to come. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Father, you've created in us a space that we need others. That it's not good for us to do life alone. And so, Father, I pray that today we would begin to seek out relationships in our lives, healthy relationships, Father, where we can begin to do life together, that we can share together, have fellowship together, that we could study your word together, that we could wrestle with hard topics together, Father, that we could pray for and with each other. Father, I pray that we would be the church that you have called us to be. That we would bring glory to you by letting people know that we are Christians and Christ followers by our love, and that the world would see that in us and be drawn to you. Father, we love you and praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.